And I'm thankful in a lost and dying world where people don't love and care about Jesus, I'm thankful that I believe this morning. Amen. I believe that Jesus is alive and well. This morning, turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word this morning. Acts chapter 13. I want to break in at verse number 4. Acts chapter 13, verse number 4. The Bible says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salmonis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, the Bible says a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. Then Elymaeus, the sorcerer, for so is by his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." The Bible says in verse 9, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately, the Bible says, "there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I want to pray for our pastor again. You would just, Father, just give him the strength to get through the sickness that he has. Lord, I pray you'll bless this morning as we preach the word of God. I need your power from on high, that you would anoint us and fill us with the Spirit of God. And Lord Jesus, give us the very words that we need to hear this morning. Father, that governor, he believed from what he saw, but he believed because of the word of God was spoken. And God, I pray this morning, if there's one in our midst this morning at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church that's not sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, that's not sure how to get to heaven, does not know Jesus in a very personal way, a one-on-one relationship, Lord, I pray this morning the Holy Spirit of God would get a hold of those hearts and they would come and ever live, Lord, and know Jesus is our Savior. Father, thank you for the hope that we have. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that has come out today. Lord, give us power to preach this morning. Use us in a special way. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. I've been studying the book of Acts some on the missionary journeys they've been going through. It's the very first missionary journey that they had went on. The Bible says in verse 4, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." If you read in verse number 3 or 2, it says, and the same chapter, it says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." But the Bible says, you know what? That wasn't the church that actually sent them. That was the Holy Spirit of God that got a hold of their hearts, amen, and told them, you must go and preach the gospel and preach the word of God, amen. Not the church. They prayed for them. They fasted for them. They laid their hands on them. But it was the Holy Spirit of God that got a hold of their hearts that had them go minister, amen, across the ocean there. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God this morning. I'm thankful that one day in 1997, coming home from a place in Virginia, I'm thankful that the Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. It was after midnight, and I'm thankful that He told me, listen, I needed to be saved. I was out singing with a group, gospel music, and I wasn't saved. I wasn't born again. I never put my faith and trust in Jesus. I was 40 years old then, praise God, amen. Wish I was 30, but I was 40, praise God. Anyhow, listen, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, and I got gloriously saved and born again. It wasn't just the church. It wasn't just the preaching. It wasn't the singing. It wasn't because I went there. It was because the Holy Spirit of God had spoken to my heart, and I realized that I was a sinner on my way to a devil's hell, and I asked the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into my heart and save my soul. And my friends, He did, and I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God. And can I say this before I go on? I pray that each and every one of you that came here this morning, listen, you might just come to the house of God to hear the Word of God preached, but I pray that you know that you have a one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you do not, my friends, you're a sinner on your way to a devil's hell. But if you are saved, praise God, you're saved by God's marvelous grace. And He took your sins and buried them in the depths of the deepest sea and took them as far as the east is from the west. And you are saved, born again, washed in the blood on your way to heaven. Thanks to God, amen, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says they sent them and departed unto Seleucia, which was Antioch's seaport. And those then, they were talking about Paul, talking about Barnabas, and it was also John Mark with them, which was Mark, the fellow in the second gospel, Matthew Mark, he was with them. The Bible says they sailed to Cyprus. I thought about that. You know, I believe that was the first time that the gospel had went across the ocean. Amen. I believe it's the first time it went across the sea when Paul and Barnabas had went there. And you know, I'm thankful the gospel today in 2019 is still going around the world. It's still going all over the country in America. It's still going all over the whole world. And the gospel is being preached by men of God, and their souls getting saved and lives getting changed. And the gospel is moving around day and day and day all the time so that people can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul and Barnabas and John Mark went over there. He said in verse 5, and when they were at Salmis, the Bible says they preached the word. They preached the word, the gospel. They shared the gospel story. Have you heard of the gospel story this morning? Have you heard of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Have you heard of the precious blood that was shed on Calvary that you could be saved this morning? Amen. They went out and they preached the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God sent them out. Can I tell you, we might not all be preachers. We might not all be teachers. But I tell you what, we can still preach the Word of God. You say, how in the world do I do that? You do that because the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. You can hand a tract out and you can tell them, invite them to the house of God. You can pray for them. You can tell them what Jesus has done in your life and has made a change and a difference in your life. Amen. They sailed across and they preached the Word of God. The Bible says, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what Paul wrote. Oh, how important it is for a Christian to share the good news. How important it is for a Christian to share the gospel story. The Bible says over there, they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John too, their minister. We're not told if he preached. We're not told what he did, but that word minister there means a helper. It means somebody that would help them. And I'm sure, listen, Mark knew about Jesus, amen. He saw Jesus when he was on the cross. He saw Jesus when he came back from the dead. He was with Jesus, praise God Almighty, when Jesus healed the sick and made the blind to see and the lame to walk and rose him from the dead. He was with Jesus, so he knew about Jesus. And it was good that he went out and he helped Paul and Barnabas preach the word and do whatever he had to do. Can I say this, church, born-again believers? It's good to help preach the word of God. It's good to share the gospel story, amen. It was their minister when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos. I studied that out a little bit. That island was like 140 miles long and 40 miles wide. They had went all through that island. They had preached the gospel to so many people. They were out there sharing the good news. They just didn't stop here and then go here. They went all around the place and shared the gospel story. Can I tell you, when you're at work and people need to be saved, you ought to share the gospel story. Can I tell you, when you're home or your relatives come and your friends come visit you, you ought to share the gospel story wherever you're at. Let them know that Jesus saves. Let them know that Jesus changes lives. Let them know that Jesus is our Savior. Praise God. The Bible says they went all through the island. And it was a pretty bad place. It had many prostitutes there and many devil worshipers and people that did that kind of stuff. But they didn't care. They went out and they preached the good news. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. The Bible says a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. The sorcerer is kind of like Nebuchadnezzar had back in the Old Testament. He would have the sorcerers with him, the magi, the people there that kind of helped them get through things. They really couldn't do it, but they thought they did. That's what the governor had with him because they were in a bad place. They weren't in a place that was really good. It was a pretty bad place. And the governor thought this fella here, Bar-Jesus, was going to help us out. He's going to get us to go through these things and take care of everything coming along. That wasn't the right way. That wasn't the right thing. Can I tell you the only one that can help us and get us along is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody else can do it. They can think they can. They can act like they can. They can say they can. But they can't do it. Only Jesus can do it. The Bible says, which was with the deputy, which is the governor of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, a high Roman official government, very intelligent man. He had this fellow working with him by his side, a sorcerer, a false prophet. I call him the mini Antichrist, just a little mini one, amen. And the Bible says over there, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul. Why did he call for them? He was having a good time doing what he wanted to do. I'm sure he had enough money to do what he wanted to do. But he called for Barnabas and Paul for what? He desired to hear the word of God. He had a desire in his heart to hear the word of God. That desire means to search, to crave, to seek for. Paulus had a deep desire to hear what Paul and Barnabas and John Mark were talking about, what they were preaching about, why they were on the island. He had a desire to hear that. You know why? Because in his heart, he knew that he was missing something. In his heart, he knew that he needed something that he didn't have. Amen. And he had a desire to hear the word of God. And I believe as Christians, we must have a desire to hear the word of God also. We're saved, born again. Know that Jesus is coming back one day for the church, but we ought to have a desire to hear and the Word of God. Not only to hear the Word of God, but to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, to apply the Word of God in our hearts. The Bible says, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Let me tell you what, babies crave a lot of milk. They want the bottles for the belly, amen. Listen, we need to crave the Word of God. The more we learn about the Word of God, the more closer we can get to God Almighty, amen. I'm glad for the Bible. I'm thankful that I know that Jesus came and left all of heaven's splendor and He gave His life on Calvary and shed His blood and He rose again that third day and that He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Praise God, I'm glad of that. How do I know that? Because of the Word of God. I'm glad I know that there's a place called hell today. And I'm glad I know that there's a place called heaven. I'm thankful that I know that I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that one day when Jesus comes back for the church, at the rapture of the church, but by the way, it could happen any day. It could happen today. I'm glad that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Do we believe this morning? Do we believe that Jesus is real? God's coming back for the church. Do you believe this morning? He desired to hear the Word of God. I wonder why he desired to hear that. I believe people were talking about Paul and Barnabas and Mark, how they were out preaching the gospel. And Sergius Paulus wanted to hear something about it. They wanted to hear what the man of God was saying. It says over there, but Elymais, the sorcerer, who we just talked about, for so is his name by interpretation, the Bible said, withstood them. He didn't want his boss to hear any good news. He didn't want his boss, the governor, to hear anything about the word of God that Paul and Barnabas were speaking. He didn't want them to hear anything. The Bible says he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That means withstood, to stand against, to oppose, amen. Maybe Elymais was thinking, well, you know what? if Paul and Barnabas come and talk to the governor here and my boss, I probably won't be needed no more because he'll have the true gospel story. I might not get paid anymore, and I don't want him around. I believe it was all of Satan, though. I believe Satan didn't want anybody to hear the word of God. Satan still does not want anybody to hear the word of God. He'll withstand that. He does not want us to do that. Let me tell you what. He does not want people to hear the word of God. He does not want people to be under Holy Ghost conviction. He does not want people to be saved. He wants people to die and go to a devil's hell. The Bible says that in Mark 4:15, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately. He didn't take an hour or a day. The Bible says he come immediately and taketh away the word. So was sown in their hearts. Let me tell you what. He does not want anybody to be saved. Listen, I remember going to church for years. My mom and dad would drag me to church. I didn't want to go. I heard the word of God. There was times I was under Holy Ghost conviction, and I knew I should have got saved, but I did not go to the altar. I did not get saved. I remember joining a church. I was singing in the choir. I even did a few Sunday school classes. I did this and that, but I was not saved. Satan did not want me to get saved, Brother Adam. Satan did not want me to come to Christ. And then that one day, maybe it was the last time that the Spirit of God spoke to me, I got saved. I got born again because I believe in Jesus. Amen. I believe what he's done and that he's coming back. I got saved. He did not want people to get saved. But let me tell you what. The Lord Jesus does. He wants to make sure. Can I say this just standing here? He wants to make sure before everyone walks out that door this morning, he wants to make sure that you have a personal one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, church, it's not just coming about to the house of God. It's not just standing up there singing in the choir. It's not just about taking the offering and giving the money. It's about having a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he wants to make sure before you walk out that door that you know for sure you believe and you have faith in Jesus and you put your faith and trust in him and him alone. Because there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. He said over there, he said he withstood then seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm glad that I had faith one day. I'm glad that I heard the word of God preach over and over and over and over again. And I'm glad that one day, just like the Holy Spirit of God sent Paul and Barnabas on the missionary journey, I'm thankful that Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And I got saved, I got born again, because I believed and I had faith in Jesus. He said he wanted to withstand them, speaking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The Bible says in verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, from now on his name will be called Paul. You won't hear any more Saul, really, it'll all be Paul. And filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says he set his eyes on him. He set his eyes on the sorcerer because he was upset. He was going to tell the governor. He was going to tell Sergius Paulus what the gospel story was. And the sorcerer, the false prophet there, Elimaeus, he said, no, get away. You don't need to hear him. You don't want to hear him. He's not telling you the truth. Paul got upset. He set his eyes on him. You ever look at somebody real mad at them and look right at them in the eye? I'm not mad at you. I'll do it the record. You ever look at a little dog? You ever notice the dogs do that? You look at a dog and you stare right at them and they won't take your eyes off you. You'll take your eyes off them first. You ever do that? I've done that. They'll look you right in the eye. You know, that word set means he was upset. He looked right into the eyes of Elimaeus and he was going to tell him something, which he was. He was going to put a sin on him and he looked him right in the eye. He wasn't going to let him go. Stared at him right in the eye. Amen. He was upset. He was mad. He set his eyes on him. The Bible says over there, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief. He's telling this to Elimaeus because he don't want the governor to hear the gospel. He said, all fool mischief. Thou child of the devil. He knew that he was not a believer. He knew that he hated Jesus. He knew that he did not want the governor to hear the gospel, the good story, to be saved. Amen. He said, you're all full of mischief. You're a child of the devil. Elimaeus, Jewish name, was son of Jesus, or Joshua, meant salvation. Salvation. But Paul knew he was a deceiver. Paul knew that he was not a man of God doing the right thing. And he called him the child of Satan. Can I tell you, Jesus said the same thing to the Pharisees over there in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Paul said the same exact thing to Elimaeus. You're a child of the devil. You do not want him saved. Satan does not want people to come to Christ. But the Spirit of God will speak to hearts. When you're ready, my friends, he'll speak to hearts. He said over there, of the devil, thou enemy of all unrighteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways? The right ways. Why don't you turn around and do the right thing that you ought to be doing? You're trying to take this man from Christ. You're trying to have this man to suffer throughout all eternity in a place called hell. Why are you doing this? You need to do the right ways. You know, Jeremiah 31:9 says, they shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Let me tell you what, Christians, I'm speaking to the Christian this morning. When we get saved, when we get born again, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to walk the right way. We need to walk down the right path. Don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let him go make you go down the wrong path. You stay on the right path. You stay serving the Lord. You stay doing the right thing for Jesus Christ. Don't go down the wrong path. You're saved, born again. Stay on the right path. Stay on Jesus' path. Amen. Over there it says, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Paul told Elimaeus, you did what you wanted to do. Now the hand of the Lord is upon you. And you're going to get paid back for what you did. You know, I'm thankful this morning that God's hand is upon me. I'm thankful this morning that I'm a child of the King. I'm thankful this morning that I'm a born-again Christian. I'm thankful today that the hand of the Lord is upon me today. I'm thankful that it's upon me all my life after I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that He knows me. I'm thankful that He loves me. I'm thankful that He cares about me. I'm thankful today that His hand is upon me. My friends, when I have a need and need to go to God in prayer, His hand's upon me. When I have something in my life that needs to get resolved, I'm glad that His hand is upon me. But this was speaking the other way. Paul told Elimaeus, the hand of God is upon you. What's he talking about? Elimaeus was about to be judged for the wrong he had done. For the wrong he had done. You know, the Bible says in Romans 13:2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Amen. Let me tell you what. Unbelievers will one day stand before the great white throne judgment. Jesus will look at them. If they never put their faith and trust in the Lord, He'll stand before them and say, depart from me, because I never knew you. You've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. Amen. You will stand before Him. The Bible says, listen, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Amen. We must know the Savior. We must believe today that Jesus is alive and well. And that Jesus can still save souls. And that Jesus can still save lives. The hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind. Why did Paul say that? Thou shalt be blind. Not seeing the sun for a season. God's judgment is going to be upon you, Elimaeus, for doing what you did and trying to keep this governor from hearing the gospel. You know, he said a season, temporary blindness. Maybe Paul thought the same thing could happen to Elymais, the sorcerer, that happened to him. You say, what are you talking about? Remember when Paul was on his road, on the road to Damascus? On the way to imprison the Christians, he wasn't doing things for Jesus. He thought he was doing the right things for God, but he was persecuting Christians. And that blindness fell upon him, amen. Jesus came into his life and saved his soul. And I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, because Paul had a desire to see everyone saved. That's what he did. He had a desire, maybe Elymais, being blind for a season, maybe he'll realize something's going on and ask for forgiveness. Paul said in Acts 9, and Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. The Bible says in verse 17 and 18, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me. The Holy Spirit of God sent Paul to where he was at. Has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales, and he received sight therewith and arose and was baptized. Listen, maybe Paul was thinking, this guy's going to be blind for a season. He'll have a chance maybe to be saved. Let me tell you what, you might only have another chance to be saved. There's only so much time to come to Jesus Christ. Don't think because you're here at the house of God, well, young people, whatever, I'll be here next week. I'll be here next month. I'll be here in the wintertime. Don't think that you might not have another chance to be saved, my friends. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart, it's time to ask for forgiveness of sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus. He said over there, and Lord is upon thee, there shall be blind for a season. The Bible says immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. Immediately, that quick. That quick. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Let me tell you what. He was blind. He could not see. He thought he was really something. He worked for the governor. He thought he was probably making a lot of money, doing a lot of things. But now the man's blind. He cannot see for a season. So the Bible says he went about seeking for somebody to take him by the hand. Let me tell you what, church, the lost and dying world is seeking today. They might not know what they're seeking, but in their heart they know that they're missing something. They know they need Jesus, amen. And they're seeking for help. They're seeking for a Savior. They're seeking for someone to share the gospel and to tell them the living story about Jesus Christ. They're looking, they're searching for something today. And can I say this? Maybe you're searching for something today. Maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and your heart is searching. Your heart is missing the joy and the peace and the happiness and the contentment that only Jesus can give. They went out, and he was seeking for somebody to seek him, help him, take him, lead him by the hand. The Bible says in verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw, Sergius Paulus saw exactly what Paul had said. You're going to be blind for a season. You're going to be blind. Did he believe at first? Maybe not, because he wasn't a born-again Christian. But you're going to be blind for a season. The Bible says, and when he saw what was done, the Bible says, believed. He believed. That word believes means have faith to rely upon. The Bible says he believed he came to Christ. You remember when Paul and Silas, in a few chapters over, were going to be in prison, when they put him in prison. Hey, the great earthquake came. And Paul and Silas, they could have all left. And the fellow called out, said, hey, what must I do to be saved? I know Paul was saved. I know Silas was saved. What must I do to be saved? And Paul said what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. The governor believed. From what he saw, a little bit. I studied this out. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed. Believed. And then it says, being astonished. That word means amazed. He was amazed at what Paul had been preaching. He was amazed
at what he told Elimaeus about he was going to be blind. He was amazed to see what he said, that God was going to put a hand upon him.
And he was amazed to see Elimaeus go blind just like that. It was the doctrine. It was the word that he heard. He was amazed. He was amazed at the doctrine of the Lord. It wasn't just what he saw Elimaeus be blind. It was what Paul was preaching. It was what Paul had told him. Elimaeus, because of what you've done, you're going to be blind for a season. Now, who could have made Elimaeus blind? God only. Nobody else. Paul couldn't have. It was the power of God. And the deputy, Sergius Paulus, believed and got saved. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you believe today? Do you believe that Jesus came to this earth and suffered and bled and died for the sins of the world? I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Can we get a song going this morning?